Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion, and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another great show for you this morning. After months of rhetorical slights and mocking of the botched rollout of the healthcare.gov website by Republicans, the Affordable Care Act has exceeded the sign-up goals set by President Obama and have met the projected figures the Congressional Budget Office and healthcare experts said would need to work. Millions of Americans have signed up for healthcare despite the fallacious attempts by Republicans to bash and repeal the historic legislation. We're going to talk about that this morning. Last week, we talked about Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan's slight of inner city men, code for black men. Well, Ryan released his budget proposals, and as expected, the nation's wealthiest people, the military, and big business get a break, while the poorest and most vulnerable among our citizenry will once again be penalized for being poor and vulnerable. It's a scandalous attempt to legitimize Ayn Rand's worldview into our legislative structure. We're going to talk about that as well here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
It has been a rocky second term for President Obama. The Republicans have been relentless in their campaign to sully the president's character and, of course, his leadership. And as you know, they've trotted out the most rabid and hateful ideologues to articulate their disdain toward the president, towards his policies. And they have sunk so deep into the mud, so deep, that some of the most despicable voices of the Republican Party even hurled some nasty comments at the First Lady and the Obama children, and it has been absolutely ridiculous. And although that was true during the president's first term, it has gotten even nastier in recent months. And I want to have a conversation about that. The president has had to grapple with repeated efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, derisively known as Obamacare. And I believe those attempts were cynical. I believe it was probably about 45 attempts in the House by last count. More headaches for President Obama is the crisis in the Ukraine. Our relationship with Russia has soured even more as Putin continues to land grab and reinstitute efforts to cobble together a Soviet Union. President Obama's recent trip abroad suggests that the world has taken on a posture of indifference, despite a great meeting with Pope Francis, which yielded great press, but little results in terms of our international affair. The president has had a rough time of it, especially as his poll numbers have taken a beating. But, folks, despite the Republicans' best efforts, despite our press and media outlets' failure to squash fallacious rumor, half-truths, and lies about the Affordable Care Act, despite ridiculous right-wing attacks by the most hateful people on talk radio, right-wing blogs, and Fox News, the president squared his shoulders, maintained a steady hand, maintained his cool demeanor and his cool calm, and emerged as a victor in this whole health care debate. And I like that. I like that. Now, when official sign-up numbers were released on Tuesday, the president, and I just love the way he swaggered out there, the president, vice president, Joe Biden, and congressional leaders, they all gathered at the White House, and they held firm, folks. I just want to mention this. They held firm to the Affordable Care Act, despite the vicious attacks by Republicans. And it's interesting. They celebrated this week, and I was happy to see that. And so, again, he swaggered out there with Vice President Joe Biden, and he, of course, gave an interesting almost 20-minute speech about the whole struggle and debate about this issue, and it was quite fascinating. It was good to see him get his swagger back. I enjoyed it. 7.1 million Americans have enrolled or signed up for the Affordable Care Act. 7.1 million. Despite the initial hang-ups and the hiccups of the healthcare.gov website during the rollout last October, despite repeated efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, despite Republican efforts to convince people that Obamacare is detrimental to our country, despite the most hateful and the most despicable things hurled at the president, despite all of that, 7.1 million Americans waded through the silliness and the bigotry and the political expediency and the political malfeasance, and they considered their own best interest. That's what the American people did. Those folks who had to hear all these crazy things about the Affordable Care Act, they waded through all of that noise and they signed up. I want you to take a listen to President Obama.
This law is doing what it's supposed to do. It's working. It's helping people from coast to coast. All of which makes the links to which critics have gone to scare people or undermine the law or try to repeal the law without offering any plausible alternative so hard to understand. I got to admit, I don't get it. Why are folks working so hard for people not to have health insurance? Why are they so mad about the idea of folks having health insurance? Many of the tall tales that have been told about this law have been debunked. There are still no death panels. Armageddon has not arrived. Instead, this law is helping millions of Americans. And in the coming years, it will help millions more. I've said before, I will always work with anyone who's willing to make this law work even better. But the debate over repealing this law is over. The Affordable Care Act is here to stay.
I want you to keep a larger point in mind. What we were trying to do, those of us who supported the Affordable Care Act, derisively known as Obamacare, we were trying or are trying to provide affordable health care to millions of Americans, people who live day by day with uncertainty, people who literally gamble with their lives, partly because their income doesn't support getting health care or because a pre-existing condition exists and it kept them locked out of the system altogether. The Republicans have no plan of their own. No plan. The best they've been able to offer the American people was something piecemeal. You know, a convoluted a la carte pick and choose menu that don't address the wider problems with the insurance industry. 35 to 45 million people in this country live day to day without the security of quality health care. That's what we are trying to address. And when these folks visit the emergency room, the costs are passed off to the American taxpayer to the tune of billions of dollars each year and higher premiums to those of us that have insurance. So that's what we were trying to combat. And so to suggest that the hospital should go after these people who skip out on those bills after services rendered is nonsense, because we know through higher premiums and the burden on the taxpayers that we often foot the bill. The hospitals are not recouping those revenues. That's the bottom line. So this is an effort, folks, to make people responsible for their own coverage. And now, 7.1 million Americans have signed up because they chose plans that fit their budgets, that provide coverage that they need. That's the bottom line. Now, the 7.1 million figure does not include the millions who have signed up for coverage through the law's Medicaid expansion, which remains accessible after the end of open enrollment to those who qualify. New health insurance marketplaces, all shoppers compare health plans that include all new benefits, rights, and protections. Cost assistance to individuals, families, and small businesses through the marketplace. No annual or lifetime limits on health care. Insurance companies can't drop you when you are sick or for making a mistake on your application. You can't be denied coverage for pre-existing conditions. Let me repeat that. You can't be denied coverage for pre-existing conditions. You have the right to quickly appeal any health insurance company's decision. You have the right to get an easy-to-understand summary about a health plan's benefits and coverage. Young adults can stay on their parents' plan until they're 26. A large improvement to women's health services. Reforms to the healthcare industry to cut wasteful spending so that we're not paying through the roof for administrative costs. New preventative services at no out-of-pocket cost. Essential health benefits like emergency care, hospitalization, prescription drugs, and maternity and newborn care must be included on all non-grandfathered plans and at no out-of-pocket limit. You can't be charged more based on health status or gender, plus many more benefits, rights, and protections. That's what we have right now as a result of the Affordable Care Act. And are there issues that we have to address? Of course there are. But because of a provision in the Obamacare law, approximately 3 million young people today have been added to their parents' private insurance plans, meaning more than 10 million people have used Obamacare to secure their health coverage. And I want to remind all of you, with all the benefits attached to the Affordable Care Act, there were people who launched a concerted effort, particularly in the media, to sully the legislation in any way they could, particularly on outlets, media outlets like Fox News and right-wing blogs. I want you to take a listen to some of the nonsense that we heard from Fox and other media outlets.
Infamous death panels are supposed to have died before the passage of the Democrats' health care bill. Looks like they're alive and kicking.
Obamacare death panels.
Well, don't you know? She was right. Sarah Palin's death panels are back.
Just imagine. Okay, so you go in and you're trying to get a doctor's appointment, right? And they go, well, we see from your tax records. How would that possibly be possible? We see from your tax records that you support the Tea Party or conservative groups. You want a doctor's visit? 3 weeks. You want a hip replacement? 4 years.
Obamacare takes a disproportionate hit on cancer patients. Obamacare has panels and task forces which have changed the very recommendations.
I've got an Obamacare bombshell for you. Under the law, doctors will be required to ask their patients very personal questions about their sex lives, or if they don't ask the questions, they face a fine.
Either you have Obamacare or you don't, because Obamacare literally may kill you.
Absolutely despicable. Already fascinating analogy that perfectly encapsulates efforts to undermine the Affordable Care Act. It's from Jonathan Chait of the New York Times. Quote, suppose a new barbecue restaurant opens up in town. Is it any good? On the one hand, you have traditional food critics. Imagine that you also have an equal-sized group of meat is murder activists evaluating it, and whether or not you should share their views on the ethics of meat, which you're entitled to do. It stands apart from the question of whether people who do eat meat will like it. The traditional food critics may or may not like the place. They will tell you if the chicken is too dry, if the owner bungles the paperwork and can't serve any food on opening night. They will probably be caustic. On the other hand, they'll also tell you if it's good good. The Meat is Murder activists, on the other hand, will predictably rip it to shreds. And since the potential customer base for the restaurant does not include committed vegetarians, they will emphasize other reasons to shun the new animal death factory. The food is awful and overpriced. If the opening is delayed, maybe it will never open at all. Oh, it's open now. The owner is probably cooking the books. End quote. So that's what we're dealing with here. Critics who launched spurious attempts to castigate the Affordable Care Act. And of course, you remember how they launched that aggressive legislative campaign to repeal the law and resorted to even sillier arguments. Well, the people that have signed up haven't made a premium payment, so the numbers are cooked. Stupid! The first bill hasn't even arrived. Why would they make a payment without first receiving a bill? Come on! And now they're suggesting that most of the folks who have signed up already were insured. Stupid! 80 to 90% of the folks that have signed up in the exchange were previously uninsured. The numbers are readily available. Sure, you have some folks that were insured that came over to the insurance marketplace, but these were off-exchange signups who signed up from the pre-Affordable Care Act market. That is what's going on here. It's incredible to me. And let me be clear about something. The government is not providing health care. The private industry, the private insurance market is providing health care. What the government has done is provided a gateway for millions of Americans to buy into the private insurance exchange at affordable rates. That's what's happening here, folks. The insurance companies in the exchange are privately run and are competing for your healthcare dollars. This is supposed to be free market. This is free enterprise with folks, some government assistance. The government established parameters for these companies to not only participate in the exchange, but to comply with some basic requirements to better protect the American people. And for months, Republicans were carping about government's inabilities because of the botched rollout of the healthcare.gov website. But this was a clear case of private enterprise failing to rise to the occasion. What was also on trial, folks, was the government failure, of course, but it was also private enterprise. Not just with the tech firms that was contracted to launch the website, but with the insurance industry itself. These folks were holding up letters complaining about their constituents being dropped from their insurance plans in a cynical attempt to blame government. But it was private enterprise. It was the private industry, the free market. It's the construct of our capitalist society. Those were the entities dropping these folks from coverage. That was the bottom line. If they were going to blame anyone, it should have been the private industry. If you're going to target and scold anyone, if you want to direct your ire at the entity responsible for dropping coverage of your constituents, they needed to go after the insurance industry. Go after private enterprise, you free marketeers. Besides, folks, there are people who have had their policies dropped. They ultimately found better policies that included a lot more benefit and coverage than the skimpy and lousy policies that, if needed, didn't provide the coverage and safeguards that they thought they were buying into. That is the bottom line here, and that is the truth. Let's transition to Paul Ryan, because I found his latest budget proposal to be as awful as it could ever be. It made headlines this week, not for its brilliance or for its balance, but because the awful targeting of the poor and the most vulnerable in our country. His budget proposal is a cynical attempt to slash spending at the expense of middle class and working class families, and more specifically, people the poor in our country. Senior citizens would be hit. College-bound students who rely on Pell Grants and other loans are hit. Families on food stamps are especially hit. And if Ryan is to have his way, 7.1 million people that just signed up for the Affordable Care Act are hit by efforts to repeal Obamacare. That is what we are dealing with here. And here's what's so interesting. Here's what this Ayn Rand adherent proposes. Cutting $770 billion from Medicaid and a bevy of other health care programs that the poor in our country utilizes. From Medicare, he takes an additional $205 billion. In conjunction with repeal efforts of the Affordable Care Act, Ryan takes $1.6 trillion from the Affordable Care Act legislation. He takes $1.9 trillion from the food stamp program, welfare and federal employee pensions, and farm support from American farmers that help to feed families all across the country. And as he is slashing $5.3 trillion in programs designed to help the poor, he gives $4.3 trillion in tax cuts to the wealthy. And all of these measures, he says, are designed to help the poor. That is incredible to me. Here's what Dana Milbank wrote in the New York Times. Quote, "How very kind to protect poor Americans from being demeaned. Ryan is cutting their anti-poverty programs and using the proceeds to give the wealthiest Americans a six-figure tax cut. Ryan's budget outline omits specifics about how much he would take from programs. Instead, it provided a string of Orwellian euphemisms. The budget repairs, quote, repairs the safety net, end quote, by allowing the states to award public assistance to fewer people, quote, those who need it most, end quote. Financial aid for college would be slashed, put on a, quote, sustainable funding path, and the Ryan plan would give workers the tools to thrive in the 21st century by killing off various job training programs." Wow. So why is Paul Ryan entrenched in efforts to hurt the poor in this country despite his cynical poverty tour? Because he is irrevocably tethered to the philosophical worldview of Ayn Rand. I talked about this last week. Paul Ryan is irrevocably tethered to Ayn Rand, Adam Smith, Milton Friedman, Robert Lafayette, so many others. In their cynical worldview, objectivism, rational self-interest, specialization and selfish individualism, and, folks, an unabashed and obscene effort to help the rich get all they can at the expense of everyone else, especially the poor. And as I said last week, his policies, prescriptions are geared toward an unrestrained free market and a private industry that is given free rein to ship jobs overseas to maximize profits at the expense of the American people, especially the American worker. That is why he and his Republican cohorts will slash aid to the poor and simultaneously work to stop increasing the minimum wage. Can you imagine? There is a concerted effort by the Republicans to stymie efforts to help minimum wage earners from getting a wage increase to $10.10 an hour. These folks are not working on the behalf of the American people. They are working at the behest of oligarchs and plutocrats. That is the bottom line. Take a listen to President Obama.
If they tried to sell this sandwich at Zingerman's, they'd have to call the stink burger or the mean witch. You know, look, here's the truth. They're not necessarily cold-hearted. They just sincerely believe that if we give more tax breaks to a fortunate few and we invest less in the middle class, and we reduce or eliminate the safety net for the poor and the sick, and we cut food stamps and we cut Medicaid, and we let banks and polluters and credit card companies and insurers do only what's best for their bottom line without the responsibility to the rest of us, then somehow the economy will boom and jobs and prosperity will trickle down to everybody. And when I say it that way, I know it sounds like I'm exaggerating, except I'm not.
One economist critical of Ryan's budget plans suggests that his prescriptions are fit for a bygone era. But I think Ryan's policy prescriptions are far more sinister. I think what he offers is grounded in a belief that if you give every possible break to the rich, that it would somehow trickle down to the poor and the middle class, which has been roundly debunked. Another far more important point, folks, is that Paul Ryan's admiration for his hero, Ayn Rand, is looming large in this discussion. It's not mentioned, but it's looming large. Ayn Rand, folks, is the Russian-born philosopher and novelist who promulgated selfish individualism, objectivism, and the notion that religion, faith, and caring for others are virtues that should be roundly rejected. She was a staunch atheist that rejected the idea that being your brother's keeper and having a morality that is based on biblical principles are antithetical to her ideas and philosophy. She touted the idea, which she called objectivism, that pursuing one's own happiness and self-interest is a proper moral purpose that should not be infringed upon by any religious tenet that requires a concern for others. She blasted any social policy that interfered with individual rights embodied in a capitalist society. She railed against any social, emotional, or faith-oriented obligation to help anyone other than one's self. It's a fact. And in fact, she once said that you could not follow her and Jesus at the same time. This is who Paul Ryan admired. So as he gallivants around the country to different neighborhoods, giving speeches about ways to help the poor, his policy prescriptions contradicts those efforts. And I've said time and time again, do not be fooled by the suits. Do not be fooled by the titles, the professional acronyms, and the ability to string together a sentence or a speech, because what's seething beneath all of that, what's seething beneath that mask, is contempt for the least of these and disdain for the have-nots. And I don't care how well they speak, there is a seething disdain for people who simply do not have and who are muddling through life trying to survive. That's what we have here in the Ryan budget. It may not be articulated in our media outlets. It may not have the same passion that I have, because obviously when I hear stuff like this, when I see that they are willing to slash benefits for food stamps for people who are simply trying to live, that outrages me, and it should outrage you as well. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to thank you for tuning in this week. Certainly, we applaud the president and his team for mounting efforts to provide a gateway for millions of Americans to obtain affordable health care. 7.1 million have signed up. A few million more have signed into the private market outside of the exchange. As millions more sign up in the years to come, prayerfully, we'll see the day where no American has to live with the economic uncertainty that arises when health care is not available. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. This show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.